Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Lance right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back the infamous Erica Lay from El Cruco. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Rhea. How are you?
Good. Well, it's been a little while, and once again, we're here to talk about something that needs changing and maybe stir things up a bit.
I'm here for that. Yeah, let's do it.
Now, the topic is very serious. Just over 2 months ago, we had a tragedy occur within the yachting community out of the U.S. We woke up one morning, and of course, Corrine Rayson from the Crew Coach had put out some information online, and then the news started to filter in that a young man had tragically lost his life due to suicide. And of course, the yachting community expressing their condolences. We need to do something about mental health in the industry. We have to address this. Something has to be done. Other people were saying, not again. Here we go again. In my time covering yachting and being on the outskirts of yachting for the past 17 years, it's like a pattern that has never changed. Now, here we are, the beginning of February 2023. Mental health has dropped off the industry completely because, well, there's no need to talk about it anymore. Tell us a little bit about your latest article and what you found out through the people you talked to.
Well, yeah, exactly as you say. It was when we all woke up to the news about saying about Billy taking his life. And yeah, and as I was saying, it's like the ramifications, everyone, as you say, the ripples, boom, off they go. Everyone's upset. Everyone's devastated again. And then here we are a couple of months later, and it's just all fizzled out and gone away again. And as usual, absolutely nothing is changing. We're not learning from any of these terrible events that are happening in the industry. It's like we're just making the same mistakes over and over and over again and expecting different results. But something's got to change. And I spoke to Corrine Rayson, the Crew Coach, about things. And I've spoken to, head of a management company, Damien at Edmundston, who was super helpful, super enlightening. Just talking about what we're going to do, how we're going to move forward. And again, it just keeps sort of hitting a brick wall. Things just sort of, they get a little bit of momentum, and then it just all fizzles out again. And I just want to make sure that people like you and I, we keep banging on about it, and we keep on talking about it, and we keep communicating in the hope that people like us and Corrine, we can eventually make some changes and make organizations like the MCA and PYA stand up and listen and start helping the industry as a whole. And one of the things that we really spoke about in the article was about sort of the lack of training, the lack of resources that are available for our crew and for our senior crew as well. And, you know, how we can help people do their jobs better and how we can help people look after each other a little bit better. And I think it really starts right at the beginning when people do their SDCW. They do their first aid course. They do their survival course and their firefighting course. And then they come to the personal safety and social responsibility module. I remember when I first heard this, I was like, I'm sorry, but what now? What's the personal safety and social responsibility? What does that even mean? And you Google it, as we all do, and I looked up on a few different sea schools websites, like, what even is this course? What does it actually, what should it involve? And it sort of just sort of goes on a bit, it's all sort of really fluffy and flaky and a bit vague, right? Like, we're going to talk about some employment conditions and give you a bit of info about living on board a yacht. And you think, well, if you've just laid out a grand or so on your courses, you've probably done a little bit of research and you know what that bit is about. So, you know, maybe have a chat for an hour about typical living conditions and employment conditions. And then why not use that as an opportunity to educate the crew right from the very start about mental health awareness, about looking for triggers, looking for signs, how to manage their own stress, and also what to do if they or someone they're working with is feeling overwhelmed. Give them contact details for the organizations that exist who can help if they're having a really terrible time. So, yeah, I think it's on the big organizations to start right at the beginning when people enter the industry.
Let me ask you this, and this is something that I see straight across the industry in every training school, every company that offers courses. There's sexual harassment courses popping up. There's bullying courses popping up. When you take your medical training, is that done by someone who is licensed in medicine?
I would hope so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, when they do their first aid course, yeah, they're going to have a legitimate first aid instructor teach them their first aid courses. And I would say firefighting and survival stuff. But the PSSR module, even if you move up the ranks, the only sort of human element training that senior crew, engineers, deck officers would receive, the HELM course. I'm not really sure who's qualified, what qualification somebody needs to be able to lead that course.
If we were on land and you decided that you wanted to go and get some mental health training, would you go to the clothing store down the street? Would you go to the boat dealership and ask for a mental health training course?
No, of course not. Of course not. You go to someone who's properly qualified. You wouldn't go, as you say, it's like if I'm studying for a degree, I'm not just going to take information from some bloke down the pub who told me that that's how you do it. No, you want somebody who's licensed, registered, and experienced. You want someone who's a professional in that part of the industry or in their industry to give that information and to help people with that. I think we can learn a lot from other industries. Why don't you use these other people that are not yachting instructors? Don't just give them a quick course and then they can teach you how to look after someone. It's just, it's lacking. It's massively lacking. And speaking to Corrine as well, she was pointing out that she's not really heard much good feedback with regards to the HELM courses for the AE, for the senior heads of departments on board. And it's like, why don't we, when you move up the ladders, when you're progressing in your career, if you're on deck or engineering, you have to do a HELM course, operational and then management. And they're both kind of focused towards the operation of the vessel, not really the operation of the crew, not really about creating a happy and healthy working environment. And so you end up with people who are the head of the department and they're not really trained. They can do their job, the physical job, probably really well. But then you get a lot of the job as the head of department is you're managing people. So where are they going to learn these skills if it's not implemented into their training? We're really falling massively short here.
Well, mental health is something that people study years in order to be able to get a degree, in order to diagnose and to work with and have the answers and all of those things that go with it. So to have somebody that has never had any of that training doing a quick overview in a few hours and sending all these crew out and management and captains, all of a sudden they've had this course. And I think that is one of the biggest thing that really strikes me about the yachting industry is that the minute there's an issue that the real world sees and the real world has to deal with and people are getting trained, they're going to university, they're taking accreditation. All of a sudden, the yachting world, every school says, let's make a course. And none of them are qualified. How do they get away with that?
I suppose it's going to come up to like the governing bodies, like the MCA, I guess, for the SDCW. It's a tricky area. I mean, like I remember over 10 years ago, we were saying there is a real need for some like human resources training. That this is a big hole in the leadership and the management training for captains or chief officers and whatnot. And they responded, the MCA responded by creating the HELM courses. But they're not really enough. And you speak to any captain or manager and they'll tell you the same. And they've got people like Corrine trying to work with the MCA to help them, to push them to develop courses. And as Corrine pointed out to me, you can't learn to be an effective leader on a day course. It takes months, if not years, of training and life experience. And this space that we've all worked for people over the years where you think, yeah, I've had some really good bosses and I've had some really terrible bosses as well. Some people just aren't cut out for it because some people aren't very good with their soft skills. But, you know, I think in an environment like Super Yachty, which we know is super high stressful at times, it's really important that you have someone on board who can do the soft skills. And let's face it, these days, captains are up to their eyeballs doing all the admin and all the paperwork and everything else. Most of the time, they'll delegate down these looking after the crew to their heads of departments, and that could be the chief officer and or the chief stew, who end up becoming like the onboard HR department for all grievances and issues and worries with the crew. And it's super hard if you're forced into that role. Are you qualified? Are you experienced enough? Have you got the backup you need from your captain or your management company? Have you got the resources you need that you can draw on when you've got dispute resolution, you've got someone in tears?
But see, I think this is where that whole conversation falls down, because when you work in any corporate on land environment, human resources is in a separate office entirely, because in order to do your job correctly as human resources, you have to be completely neutral. And we know that doesn't work on board. We know that there are alliances made on board one way or the other. So in order to get what you're looking for, to have it done correctly, would it not make more sense for yacht management companies to have a human resources team or person on land that everything is reported back? That person has no interaction with the crew whatsoever, just gets the reports, deals with the reports. If there's an issue on board, is able to, whether it be mediate that from a neutral position or fix it from a neutral position, because that is never going to happen if you have a crew member in charge of human resources on board.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And I think with yacht management companies, surely they have the capabilities and the resources to do that. They've got enough. They can hire someone specifically to take on that role, as you say. Because let's face it, with yachting, these guys have got enough to do. The crew are super busy anyway. They've got enough to do. So throwing that extra duties and responsibilities on them as well is often a little bit too much. And it's not for everyone. As I say, the soft side of things, the human resources stuff, it's not everyone's cup of tea. I mean, that's why people like me exist, because recruitment is hard and stressful, and so many captains and heads of department say, like, I hate looking for crew. It's so difficult. And we really appreciate having someone like you who's dedicated, because you take the stress out of it for me. So why not have someone ashore who can do exactly that? Do the human resources side. Do that if it gets to the point, if they need somebody to mediate dispute resolution if something's going on. Or if someone's unhappy, just having a bit of a tough time about it and need somebody to talk to. So you've got that distance.
Well, and the other thing too is, generally speaking, most of the people that are on the boat, most, not all, maybe 75%, are in their 20s. So you've got Jane over here who is having some severe mental health issues. Sarah notices that, goes to the human resources person on board, who happens to be her best friend, and said, I think she may be having some issues. And yeah. Then they all got drunk one night together and, you know, talk about it. I mean, it just, it's not conducive. I'm working on board. You can't have those issues addressed while on board. They have to be able to say, I'm going to text the human resources officer on land, or I'm going to email, or whatever it may be. And then that person on land will be able to deal with it appropriately. If there is a need for a psychologist, if there is a need for bringing them on shore and taking them off monitoring what is going on board, then they can make that decision without any of the politics on board involved or any of the yacht management politics involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. There needs to be some sort of distancing between person A and person B, and It's a tricky one. But yeah, I do think something needs to happen. I mean, at the moment, speaking to Damien at Edmundston, he was saying that they don't have a specific system in place yet, but they're working on one. for reporting mental health incidents on board so that things are logged and flagged and they're aware of things and they can get communicated and they can get people help when they need help. Because at the moment, it's like, if I had a physical accident, boy, I don't know, the deckie's on, he falls off the side of the yacht because he didn't have his harness on properly, there'd be a full investigation. It's like, let's make sure this never happens again. But when there's a mental health issue, somebody might hurt themselves or attempt suicide, or God forbid, commit suicide. It's all just, everyone's like, oh, this is very, very sad and tragic. There's no full investigation of what led to it. It's, people are terrified to find out. But, you know, something that needs to be addressed. And even if it makes people very uncomfortable to talk about their feelings, it's 2023 and apparently everyone's doing it now. So let's get with it and let's catch up with everyone else. You know, all these other industries and yachting is being left way behind. The people are having therapy just because they can now these days. That's the way things are. And it's nothing to be ashamed about. And remove this stigma of feeling depressed, of being able to say to someone, I've been really down today, I'm really depressed, this is upsetting me, blah, 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 without someone going, oh my God, you're such a drama queen. If you don't like it, leave. Yeah, it's such a snowflake. It's just, there's no sort of support. And that's really disappointing. It's like, can't we just be a bit, what happened to that Be Kind campaign? Wasn't that the thing we were all supposed to be doing? But again, I got put in the bin, didn't it?
I think people are only kind when it serves them, to be absolutely honest with you. Realistically, every yacht management company out there had, they'd have to hire full-time psychologists. But if they had on a contractual basis, somebody that they could send these people to. I mean, even if several yacht management companies got together and said, we're going to pay this person to have her full-time or him full-time at our disposal. And so that if an issue arises, we do have somebody who is trained, who is professional, who knows the right steps to take so that we can cover our asses as well. We see in the States, things are starting to get litigious. When is somebody going to have a mental health issue on board or a family of someone who has taken their own lives, sue the yacht managed company or the boat itself? Cover your asses. I mean, yachting is so good at covering its ass. I'm surprised they're not doing it in this instance. And as well, human resources, that's just one more person you have to hire. They can look after not only the yacht, but make sure that within your own organization, things are being done correctly. I mean.
Yeah. And that concerns are being listened to and logged. There's a lot of big things that we're falling short on a lot of things and the whole listening to people. Taking them seriously, taking their complaints seriously, rather than brushing things under the carpet I think having a dedicated person ashore, your DPA, doesn't always have to be technical stuff. We've got to look after the people because without crew, yachting. I mean, something that came up in another article I wrote about crew shortage or experienced crew shortage, trying to keep crew. What can we do to make life better for crew on board so that we can keep them? And one of the things that came up was from a chief stewardess, which was a fantastic idea. She said, I would love it if our owners said to us, right, once a week during the season, we want everyone to just have an hour a week with just privately on a Zoom with an external therapist, just have a chat with someone like this. And even if it's just to check in on them, how's it going? And it could just be, everything's great, lovely, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, have you spoken to your family this week? And that person just to check in on them and make sure they're okay. And then it gives somebody an opportunity, if everybody's having it as well, if you're having a really bad time of it, maybe something's happened on board, you know, you just have somebody checking in on you and say, how's it going? Say, actually, it's been a really tough week. And someone to say, tell me about it. What's happening with you? And then if necessary, that person can then take further steps. But just an hour a week, that's it, out of our whole lives. Like, would that be a lot to ask for an owner to do or a management company even to set up for a crew?
Honestly, Erica, when I take a look at, even when we talk about these criminal record checks, there is no way that a multi-billionaire is going to come on a yacht with his children, his friends, and I guarantee you, they assume that there has been a criminal record check done on those people that are looking after their kids on board. They don't know. They don't know because if somebody went to apply for a nanny job at any one of their mansions around the world, their lives would be dug upside down, inside out.
Yeah, for sure.
So I know that when they get on a yacht, they assume that where they are is a safe place.
Yeah.
And they assume that these people are mentally stable, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a lie. I don't know anyone in yachting, myself included, who's mentally stable.
I'm pretty sure I don't know anybody who's mentally stable. There needs to be big steps made, and that for the industry to take shortcuts is not the way to go. You're hiring somebody that has had no training whatsoever in mental health to talk about bullying, to talk about sexual harassment, to talk about suicide, to talk about therapy or any of those things. No, you're not doing it right. To hire somebody who's responsible for the well-being on board needs to be offshore so there's no politics involved. And that's the only way forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think with regards to the training, just hopping back on that for a second, you know, when, as I said, when they crew move up the ranks, they'll do advanced firefighting and advanced first aid under the SDCW program. So why not just add in another course? Why not add in psychological first aid and have it with, you can do these courses on Zoom. It doesn't have to be in person. You could do a Zoom course with the psychological first aid just to prepare people for, as a head of department, I'm a chief stewardess. I'm running a team of 4 stews on this boat, or I'm chief officer. I'm running this team of 5 deck hands and a bosun on this boat. Just to prepare yourself to look for the warning signs. And you check in with people. It's not a sign of weakness to check in on your team and say, hey, you're not quite chatty today, Ria. You know, what's up? You okay? Oh, yeah, you're fine. She's got a bit of a headache. Oh, okay, cool. Well, if anything else, give us a chat. Okay, cool. It doesn't hurt to check in on people. People aren't really given that training. And some people naturally do it, and they're born leaders and born people managers. But so many people aren't. And unfortunately now, with the way things are, this is quite controversial, and say with the new generations, there's less and less actual human interaction. It's all done online. It's like, oh, I want to find a new boyfriend. Okay, I'm just going to go on a date. We're kind of losing that art of conversation, of interaction, because it's just, and obviously, yeah, with lockdowns and COVID and everything, it's even less now. But people aren't really picking up on social cues anymore, or spotting the warning signs. And especially if you're stressed to hell anyway, because your boss is coming tomorrow, we need to do a quick turnaround, we've got to get this shit shake, blah, blah. You might not pick up on signs that perhaps in the real world you might, but we need to just need to give these people, the crew, more resources and just allow them, help them to do their jobs better. And as you say, having someone ashore who can take that load off them would be a big help. But we've got to keep them also aware of what's going on, and also to recognize like triggers and stresses in themselves. I can't be a great leader and lead my team if I'm suffering myself. I'm not going to give my best, and I'm not going to look after them, and they're going to pick up on that and probably be miserable. So it's, and especially as you're with yachting, we're living together, we're eating together, we're probably sleeping together, let's face it. There's all sorts going on, but there's no time. It's not a Monday to Friday 9 to 5 job.
It's my worst nightmare. It's my worst night. I don't know how people do it. I mean, there must be some superhuman power within you all, because I would kill everyone. I would be one of those people that would be in the middle of the Atlantic. I would find the chef's knife and I would just go AWOL.
It would be like, oh, was it Dead Calm? Was it that movie was Paul Kidman? I was born Billy Thane. Oh, he was a great psycho in that film. But yeah, the thought of sharing a tiny space with someone now, I'm way too old for that. I would probably do some serious damage, and they'd fall over my shoes. They get upset with me. Recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Well, and again, something that this cost should not be passed on to crew, because every single other cost has been passed on to crew. Now you're hiring people to do a job. You as management, you as employers are responsible to make sure that not only is their workspace safe, but they are looked after within that space. So ability of the yachting industry to pass those costs on down to crew while making sure that crew pay doesn't rise is getting a little bit asinine at this stage. I think the middle management needs to take some responsibility, and I think the time is now, and they need to do it right.
Yeah, absolutely. As we were saying before, the workforce is changing. The workforce has changed, like it or not. We can all sit back and moan that back in my day, I worked for 3 pence a fortnight. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you did then. We've got to look at what we're doing now and look at the workforce now, and they have different needs. And they're different. They're a different generation, and we need to look after them and nurture them and train them and help them become amazing yacht crew.
Well, and to be honest, Erica, we had that discussion before. If you hired a green deckhand to come on and you said you're getting paid 20,000 euros a month, that beggar would be sleeping on the floor. There wouldn't be a word out of his mouth. They would lick your shoes if you wanted them to, because they're getting paid 20,000 euros a month. And that was the reality back in your day, to whomever out there keeps saying that. It's not that way anymore. Now you're getting paid minimum wage. Saying, for that, why would I sleep on the floor? For that, why would I work 20-hour days with no days off? Really?
Yeah.
It's a different world. Yes, in many ways.
Yeah, of course. It's very different. And even now, what we're going to find now in spring, we've still got a shortage of good crew. All the good ones are overworking in the States because the US dollar boats are paying absolutely fantastic wages. So, and the European boats are like, oh, we can't compete with that. It's like, can't you? Maybe you could. Maybe you could increase the salaries. We are, well, not, because the salaries haven't increased in 15 years. It's ridiculous.
Our U.S. crew have far more right than European crew as well. They have a lot more protection in the U.S., and we've seen some pretty good lawsuits out of the U.S. as well. So it's time to wake up. It's time to make a change, because if you don't make that change, you're going to be stuck.
Yeah, interesting times ahead. Good to see what happens. Definitely going to be interesting.
The only thing we can do is continue to talk about it, to bring more people on and continue that conversation and continue to push. And there are some great champions in the industry, and Corrine, yourself, Miriam over at Yachts Mermaid. There's a number, oddly enough, of women that seem to be pushing many aspects. But, you know, I guess you keep yelling about it until things change.
Well, I'm going to keep yelling about it, stamping my feet, burning my bra, whatever is required. Let's just keep on going. All we can do is just keep quieting the good fight. And it's reassuring to have conversations like this with people like you and Corrine and people like Damien at Evanston, who see that we're all on the same page. And it's like, oh, thank God, I'm not just flailing around on my own trying to get things changed. And the feedback I've had from these interviews, from the articles I've written for crew, it's been absolutely wonderful, and it's been really inspiring. Some of the things that I've heard, just to have people say thank you, we love that you're a voice and that people like us are speaking out, because I think a lot of them have given up. As we've seen, a lot of them have left the industry because they've just given up on it. So let's just keep on. Yeah, we'll just keep on keeping on.
As we do. Erica, I want to say thank you ever so much again for your time and, of course, for your voice and your honesty.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure. And I'm looking forward to doing more of this year, because we're both quite noisy. I mean, vocal. Sorry.
I think you did it the first time.
Yeah, I think I did, yeah. But yeah, let's just keep doing it. Let's just keep talking about it. The more we talk about it and moan about it, someone's going to do something in order to just shut us up. And I'm fine with that. As long as good changes happen, that's perfect. So yeah, let's just keep on trucking and keep on pushing.
Keep on trucking. That's my motto. You've been listening to Erica Lay from El Crico. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.